This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Tuesday afternoon, January 12th. Well, I wanted to wait until after the crop reports to do the podcast because that's what I have a little bit something more important to say. And boy, was there ever a lot in this report, a very bullish report, especially for corn, and kind of offset some negative numbers for wheat and some okay numbers for soybeans. But by far the biggest component of the report was corn in a very bullish setup. So let's just plow through the numbers for yield for corn for the United States this past growing season. They took yield down another 3.8 bushels an acre, down to 172. Production then was down 325 million at 14.182. Ending stocks were down 148 million at 1.552 billion bushels. That comes on a drop in usage, they say. So that was quite a surprise to the market, because corn exports have been stellar, way above the pace needed to meet USDA's expectations, and yet they didn't really make any adjustments for that. The quarterly stocks report showed that September through November disappearance for corn was also record large. So there's quite a paradox in the numbers as far as what we see day to day and the feed usage and the demand for feed on top of that. And USDA, I think, trying to tamp down the bullishness of what this corn complex has become just in the last few weeks. Now, we want to note that Argentina last week shut off corn exports because of drought conditions in that country, slowing down corn planting and clearly slowing down production yields. And they're also talking about restricting wheat exports out of Argentina. So, you know, the corn market has caught fire here, and it shot limit up, and it stayed that way the rest of the day, up 25 cents on at least the first three front months. So back to the crop reports, soybean yields were lowered a half a bushel an acre, down to 50.2. Production was lowered 35 million bushels at 4.135 billion bushels. Ending stocks were lowered a like amount, down 35 million at 140, which is a very tight number on its own. And it was tight before the crop report. And this just clearly shows that we're in a continuing tightening situation with corn, and soybeans and corn for that matter. And it comes as we watch South America really struggle with some significant weather problems as they're trying to get planting done for corn in particular in the southern part of South America across much of Argentina. And the weather, of course, you know, time marches on, and weather has been very dry across much of southern Brazil and Argentina over these last few weeks. And it started out, the growing season started out in northern Brazil under very dry conditions. Well, they finally got some rain, but not after you'd done some significant damage to the crop. So we're just starting harvest in the northern part of Brazil, but it's going to be a smaller crop even there. And we started out wet in southern Brazil, then it turned dry. So it's not been an easy season so far. And the demand is being shifted over to the United States, number one, because things got planted late because of the dryness, so harvest is late. So China has shifted over some of its demand for beans and corn over to the United States. So our export sales so far have just been off the charts for both of those markets. And it's been pushing, that's been really the driver of these markets over these last couple months is demand. And now we're throwing some weather situations on top of that, and I think we're starting to hit the acceleration phase. Market was holding back, waiting for these crop reports to come out. So you had the supply demand, you had the quarterly stocks, we had the winter wheat plantings. So there's a lot of data coming at us today, and the market wanted to wait for that was behind us. So it really, you know, we got a bullish corn report, and that just kind of added fuel to the fire. So wheat production, ending stocks were lower 26 million bushels to 836 million bushels. That came on an increase in feed usage of 25 million and an increase in seed use of 1 million. And we'll talk about that here in a bit when we get into the plantings report. So we did see a slight drop in U.S. wheat ending stocks. Exports were left unchanged at 985 million bushels. Average cash price was average farm gate price was 4.85. That's up 10 or 15 cents from last month. Now, the world ending stocks for wheat, they took it down 3 million tons to 313 million tons. Corn ending stocks worldwide down 5 million tons at 283, and soybeans down 1 at 84 million tons. Argentine corn production was down 1.5 million tons at 47.5 million tons. Brazil was down 1 at 109. In soybean production, Argentina was lowered 2 million tons to 48, and in Brazil was unchanged at 133. So the trade, not a big surprise how USDA handled Argentina and Brazil, but generally speaking, there seems to be a sentiment that there's still more to come there as far as reductions in yield and production for both corn and soybeans out of Argentina and Brazil. Now, the quarterly stocks report showed that corn stocks at 11.322 billion bushels, that was 630 million below the trade estimate. And that was coming on the decrease in production and an increase in feed usage. Soybean stocks at 2.933 billion bushels, that was 13 million more than the trade was looking for. And wheat, 1.674 billion bushels, that was down 21 million from what the trade was looking for. Now, on the wheat plantings, the all winter wheat plantings at 31.991 million acres. That was 463,000 more than what the trade is looking for, and it's up 1.58 million over last year. Hard red winter wheat acres at 22.3 million acres was up 160,000 over the estimate and up 938,000 over last year. Soft red acres at 6.23 million, that was up 346,000 over the estimate and 666,000 over last year. And white wheat actually had a was lower, 34,000 acres lower than the estimate at 3.48 million. That was also down 9,000 from last year. So the states that saw a jump, a notable jump in hard red winter wheat plantings were Kansas, 700,000 more than a year ago. And Montana was next in line, up 150,000 over a year ago. North Dakota bringing up the rear, up 100,000 over a year ago. And Oklahoma, too, was up 50,000. Texas was down 100,000. And of course, with the drought so prevalent across the South and the Western Plains, it's understandable why Texas would see a pretty notable drop. So, kind of a surprise to see Kansas that much higher, and a surprise to me to see hard red winter wheat have a bigger jump in acres than soft red. We figured soft red would be higher. We could kind of see that happening as the economics certainly suggested that it would pay to do a double crop of soft red wheat and then soybeans, and it still pays as soybeans just soar higher. And we got that, but not quite to the degree that it had been suggested. In the meantime, hard red winter wheat bringing up, shoring up acreage with their big jump of 938,000, and again coming out of Kansas. Now, Kansas, that dividing line right about midway through north to south, that was the eastern part of that had plentiful rain across central Kansas and then on east. It's always that western third that's just perennially dry, and we still see that. And mostly up into northwest Kansas and through eastern Colorado, up into Nebraska. That's a dry pocket, which is not unusual. So this will be very interesting because those acres, of course, went into dormancy in rough shape, as did many of those acres through on south into the panhandles. But with wheat prices pushing higher, the incentive would be to keep those acres in or not graze them off. Many of the acres in Oklahoma, which tends to be pretty heavy wheat grazing through the summer, they may just opt to keep calves off those pastures and take them to harvest. Those decisions will be made about mid-March. So there's still some time to see how things go, but with wheat having such a strong bullish foundation underneath it, it's very likely that you will see prices stay elevated into spring to secure those acres. And we know there's going to be an epic battle for acres across the northern plains. Corn and beans just soaring higher. You can bet Minnesota and North Dakota farmers are looking pretty seriously at swapping out of spring wheat and going to one of the row crops. So I don't look for prices to really back off very much from here, you know, unless you get just a huge strong rally, and then you typically would have your big correction from that. But again, you've got to buy acres, you've got to keep acres that are already seeded to winter wheat, you've got to keep them intact, because corn and beans are calling pretty hard for anything that's marginal for a producer just to swap it out. And those are real possibilities. So I don't see these markets backing off very much at all. Now let's kind of zero in on wheat, which had its own pretty solid set of fundamentals before this report. And in fact, you know, with plantings up, it was not a bullish report for wheat. There was really nothing in there that by itself would propel wheat to be up 30 cents in Chicago, Kansas City up 28, Minneapolis up 15. But corn was locked limit up. So it has to follow. And again, it was Chicago kind of leading the way, at least on the front months. What's really interesting here, however, is on the new crop months, Kansas City led the way higher by 2 or 3 cents. But one would think that if hard red winter wheat acres were up that much more than trade expectations, that would be the one month that would be the weakest of the complex, and yet it was the strongest. That tells you that market is adamant about protecting those acres. It's very impressive to see that kind of price action, especially when front month Chicago is performing better than front month Kansas City. But by the time you got to new crop, which is only two futures contracts away, you were already flip-flopped on that. So there is an obvious demand-led bull market and supply concern market going on in new crop months of hard red winter wheat and soft red winter wheat. And I was kind of hoping, well, I was hoping that with a surge in corn and beans, which we're getting, that Chicago would perform better than Kansas City, which it is, but it's only on the front month. It's not on that July. And, you know, I've been bullish on that spread for months. And I was hoping to get some sort of a correction to get on some more positions at a better place, but I don't see that happening. And it's been pretty impressive to see Kansas City just march its way higher against Kansas City, and clearly it's looking to regain its premium over Chicago. So that's, I think, imminent. I think it's coming. It's just the market just won't break to give you a chance to really get in on that position. Now again, zeroing in back on wheat, just overall the market, some interesting fundamentals just by itself today. Egypt put out a tender yesterday afternoon. They had only 5 offers. One of them was Russia, just way above the market. And the U.S. was actually competitive with other countries. But Egypt canceled the tender because the lowest price was $30 a ton higher than what they paid just a month ago. And that, not coincidentally, coincides with the $30 a ton tax that Russia imposed here just about a month ago. But that was supposed to start in mid-February. Well, already the exporters out of Russia are factoring that in, because the time they make a sale and originate the grain and get it loaded, it'll be mid-February and they'll have to be paying that tax. So that tax announcement in December for mid-February effectively shut off all Russian offers immediately, and therefore world prices just floated higher up to meet that. Now the kicker is that as time has gone by, and with Russian exports effectively shut off, Russian domestic wheat prices are still record high and still moving higher, obviously because their FOB offers were significantly higher. So the Russian government has now suggested that it will increase again the export tax, and the scuttle is that it could be double of what it was before. You know, when they first announced that, it was just so odd because they had a near record crop production. And by the time all is settled out, USDA actually increased Russia's production again, another 1.3 million tons. So they're at 85.3 million ton production, Russia is. That's a record for them. And yet their prices are record high, flour and bread prices record high, feed prices record high, and the government has imposed export restrictions that aren't working, and now they're talking about doubling them. That's just phenomenal, and it's an extremely bullish development in the market. And despite Egypt canceling a tender, obviously they need the wheat, otherwise they wouldn't be tendering. So I don't see world prices dropping. Why would they? If Russia's gonna impose yet a higher tax, obviously they're going to do something, whether it's a slightly more or double, they're increasing their export tax, and that is going to allow world prices to rally again up to where that tax is. And that's going to make U.S. wheat very competitive. We're going to see our exports pick up again once Australia is pretty much out of the picture, which won't be all that long. And as we get into the spring, it's really just going to be the U.S. Argentina's not going to be exporting anything. The European Union had a short crop. They're already in demand rationing mode. Russia's out of the picture. They'll do everything they can to protect domestic supply. Who does that leave? It leaves the U.S. and Canada. But for winter wheat, it's just all the U.S. I mean, it's the door's wide open for us. So to think that wheat would go down, it might get its corrections, but demand is going to be there. The buyers will be there to support the breaks, especially as we get into the spring and start the all-out battle for acres. So this is going to be pretty exciting, pretty dynamic. I think this demand-led bull market that we're in right now, that's being spurred on in the last month or so by weather, I think still has more juice in it. And today could have been the start of that final leg up. Your limit up in corn. We'll see what happens on the night session tonight. But soybeans up 45. They weren't limit, but if you get that acceleration and you start to really surge, then expect it to last anywhere from 3 to 6 days. So it could be over by the end of this week. So, you know, be ready. If you really start to accelerate, that will likely, very likely, be the end of this bull phase of this market. You'll get a correction, you'll sell off, you could flush a farmer selling. Once the market starts to correct, you'll probably get a wave of farmer selling. But I think as you get into the planting season, once again, you know, what are farmers going to do? Are they going to plant corn? They're going to plant beans? Going to keep marginal wheat acres in and watch corn and bean prices skyrocket? Who knows? And on top of that, just something to keep in the back of your mind, what if you have a weather problem here in the United States? You've already got soybean ending stocks at 130 million bushels. That's, or excuse me, 140 million. That's barely pipeline supply. And corn ending stocks at 1.5 billion, that's just barely above that threshold of 1 billion. And it wouldn't take much of a yield reduction or a loss of acres to project that next year you would have below a billion. So the bottom line is ending stocks for corn and soybeans are very tight here in the United States, and they're tightening as we speak in Argentina and Brazil. Wheat stocks are okay at 836 million bushels. That's okay, but it's looking like that, you know, after last year's record yields, it's unlikely you'll have that again, especially with much of the wheat crop in pretty tough condition. So we're looking at likely a drop in wheat ending stocks despite an increase in winter wheat planted acres. And it's highly likely that you're going to see a notable drop in spring wheat acres. I just don't see Minneapolis being able to catch up with corn and soybeans. You have plentiful spring wheat stocks now, but it's going to take a year of short production to really get those tight enough to really have it able to compete for acres. So I think that, again, if we get this surge here over these next few days, which I've talked about quite a bit, Chicago already gained significantly against Minneapolis today, picked up 15 cents on that spread today. I see that continuing, but it does set up a nice spread opportunity for those two markets. Kansas City is not losing to Chicago. It has clearly every intention of keeping pace. But Minneapolis, again, spring wheat's going to have to sort of keep up here to protect its acreage base, and it clearly is not doing that with today's type of price action, but Chicago is going to be your leader. And I'm sure you saw some spread unwinding there with Minneapolis breaking the way it was today. So that's the spread that I think has potential too. And again, it's seeing quite a bit of a drop here, but it is, I think, going to set up for some nice opportunities. Kansas City, you can just jump in and grab that spread lightly, not huge positions. But I think that it's just going to continue to march higher. And any kind of correction you get there would set up an opportunity for that. So there's a lot going on. The grain market is on fire. Very bullish corn report is pulling the entire complex higher. Now, corn is quickly getting up to some major resistance at 5.5. That's going to be tough to breach. So I think we're getting very close. We're in that acceleration phase. Let's be ready. Look for, like, if we get three of these kind of days in a row, that's huge. Or we'll have expanded limits in corn tomorrow. If you don't get expanded trade, then the market's probably running out of gas. So we're just going to be ready for a correction. The long-term outlook is still bullish, but with this kind of acceleration, you'll usually get some sort of a sharp correction. And we'll just be ready for that. So I think long-term, things look good into the planting season. Even if you have great planting conditions, that just is more bullish because that would encourage more corn planting, and soybeans can ill afford to lose acres to corn or wheat for that matter. So even with great planting conditions, which usually would suggest that markets would kind of work their way lower into the spring, I think that just kind of feeds the fire of the acreage battle. So a lot going on. It's very exciting, very promising, long-term, good, solid bull markets. We've got a little weather going on right now. Expect a little bit more to the upside. Be ready for a correction, and then we'll start to work our way higher into the planting season again. If you have any questions, feel free to call 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.